This is Tony Agnese. It's Finding God's Grace. My guest is Carla Bellinger. Her book is called Connecting Pulpit and Pew, Breaking Open the Conversation About Catholic Preaching. And Carla, we were talking about the study you did with young people, and you said that most of them said they came to worship, but the second highest was, I came because mom and dad said I had to. Mm-hmm. Do you find then that as soon as mom and dad aren't in the question, let's say when they go off to college, that their mass attendance begins to slip at that point, and then how does it ever come back?
Well, I don't know that there's actually a clear connection between being required to be there and a faith in college. Currently, parents whose kids are even enthusiastic about faith in high school, sometimes they get to college and it's a whole different kind of a world. So the idea is to preach in a way that's sticky, preach in a way that makes young people know that this God whom we worship is one that they want to continue to have a relationship with. And so if the homily is well done and they've been required to be there, they'll say it's well done. If the homily is poorly done and they're voluntarily there, they'll still say it's poorly done. So in my study, I didn't find a correlation between why they came and how they rated the homily.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you think about high school kids, they listen to presentations all the time, and they know whether someone has been prepared or not prepared. You know, they know what a D student from an A student.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite quotes from one of the young people, when I asked as the last question, if there was anything you could say to the preacher in your parish, what would you say? He said very simply, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could tell, you know, that he was winging it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, then on the other side, so this we were talking this body of students. If you were to talk to a group of seminarians, and I know you spent a lot of time talking with them as well, and you ask them, why do you want to become a priest? Give me the reasons you want to become a priest. Where would preaching fit on that table?
Mm-hmm. There is a man who has done a study, very small scale. Every time he has a preaching class at a seminary, he asks how many of you are in the priesthood to preach. He said every single year, 1 out of 6 is there to preach.
So most of them want to do pastoral work,
sure.
And they really want to be involved. But preaching is not high on their priorities.
Right. On the other hand, there really is no more pastoral moment. If we look at a homily as a pastoral moment, as a time to preach the Paschal mystery, to lift those who are down, you know, to bring light to those who are in darkness, there's a huge pastoral element to preaching that we in our church have sort of overlooked, and as a result, we tend to focus more on almost a heady kind of a scriptural exegesis. Let me tell you what the Bible says today. And that's okay, too. But there are types of preaching that reach people in different ways.
Mm-hmm. In Catholic radio, there are a lot of great preachers. But I mean, you can count them on a couple of hands.
Right.
Just the daily mass goer, the person that weekly mass goer, may in some instances be going to a parish where they're getting really great preaching and
right.
sometimes not so great preaching and sometimes somewhere in the middle. How do we kind of squeeze that so that there is a consistency there? Is it in the seminary? Is it in the amount of homiletic courses? Or how would you feel that needs to happen to do what your book says, to connect the pulpit with the pew?
Mm-hmm. I guess I would look at it in two ways. Partly it is a focus in the seminary, but seminary education, these guys they're running themselves ragged studying everything. And so it's also in continuing education. Deacon David Shea in Cincinnati, Ohio, did a study, and he asked preachers in parishes, how did they grow? And they told him that it was seminary courses were nice, but what they really grew through was life experience and their interaction with parishioners. And in the book, I suggest opening the conversation at the parish level. I had a deacon I was working with who had a tendency, as his consultant, I looked at it, and he had a tendency to simply sort of end and go sit down. And he needed a conclusion. He needed people to be brought into the presence of God. And when I suggested that to him, his preaching improved immensely, immediately. Mm-hmm. But the people in his pews probably could have told him that. He didn't need me to tell him that. I wrote the book to be used as a tool to open the conversation. So, for instance, a parish priest and his parish council could sit down and talk about preaching together, chapter by chapter, just to open the conversation, because it's such a touchy issue to speak about.
And speaking of that, Carla, how has the book been received? I know there have been people that you've talked to, you've told me about, that have received it really openly and really want to get more involved with it, and I'm sure there are others who just have been silent about it. What has been the overall reaction since you published the book this year?
Since it came out in May, it has sold well, and the publisher wants to know when's my next book coming out. Those who have read it have been very enthusiastic about it. Mm-hmm. There was one young man who'd been ordained for 1 year, and he said, "Well, you know, really, I bought your book, and then I thought, what can a lay person tell me about preaching?" Mm-hmm. He said, "So it took me 6 months to read it." He said, "When I read it, I loved it, because it was speaking not from what I was to say, but how are people receiving what I have to say?" Mm-hmm. And so those who there are whole pockets of places where people are liking it, and pockets of places that nobody knows anything about it. Mm-hmm.
Through your Center for Preaching and Evangelization and Prayer, have you been out? Have you done some seminars and some things out into the marketplace? And what's been the overall acceptance or feeling at the end of those?
Very, very enthusiastic. My focus when I do a preaching workshop has been on concrete ways to improve your preaching. And for better or for worse, most workshops that priests get are very heady. Very abstract. My last conference workshop I gave was called 10 Ways to Make It Stick. Just concrete little ways to help your homily to be stronger. And so, so far the response has been very positive. Mm-hmm. At the Notre Dame Preaching Conference, apparently the publisher had a rush on books and sold everyone out that he had brought. So I think it's growing. And I think as people read it and start to talk about preaching, it will continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. I've always been alarmed a bit, and maybe that's too strong a word, at the lack of young people in the pews. And I say that, I travel a lot, and as I do, I go to Mass at a lot of different places, and oftentimes, especially daily Mass, I may be the youngest person in the room. You know, they call me Sonny, and I'm right. 65 years old. And so we need to get the young people back in. And I know there are other things, other factors besides the preaching that are going on. But it just seems to me that as I talk to people, and this is anecdotal at best, is that that's something that they keep coming back to,
yes.
That they want to leave the church at the end of the day and take with them something that's, as the word you use, sticky, something that
right.
stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's, you know, we're not getting enough of that to make that work.
Yes, yes. I would say that there are places we are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of places, and if this were a call-in show, you would have a lot of people picking up the phone right now and saying, "Let me tell you about the preaching." Because if you want a conversation to get going in a Catholic world, just ask the question, how's the preaching?
Mm-hmm.
And 45 minutes later, a whole table of Catholics will still be talking about it. And so it's something we're not talking about, but something that we need to, in love, begin to open that conversation. And so that's one of the purposes of the book, is so that we can start to talk about it, because especially parents have responded positively because they want their children to have faith. And If it's a priest who's listening to this or a deacon who's listening to this, and you give a word that will lift a child and give them hope in life, their parents will be so grateful.
Mm-hmm. I wrote a piece about, I guess it's been 2.5 years ago, called When My Children Have Lost Their Faith. And of all of the short stories I've written, it's probably been republished 10,000, 12,000 times,
yeah.
And which is wonderful. But but it's only been republished because it's such an untalked about problem.
Yes.
That we have people who are in the pews every single week, every day in some instances, whose adult children have left the faith, and they're very vocal about the fact that they have no desire to be involved in the faith.
Right.
And it is a situation that rarely gets talked about.
Right. And so really crucial moments are Christmas and funerals and weddings and confirmations. When you see those people who will come for, because grandma wants them to be there, you know. And if the message that comes from the pulpit at that moment is compelling, that may encourage them to come back. If that message is offensive, that simply reinforces their feeling that they shouldn't. It's a good thing they're not there. I suggest in my book that each preacher upon ordination, whether it's a deacon or a priest, take the Hippocratic Oath, and that is first do no harm, because especially in sensitive situations, the preaching really matters.
Mm-hmm. The kids sometimes don't feel like it's that we have kind of somehow abandoned them. Not that not that they've left, but we've kind of abandoned them.
It's yes.
they bring it back to you in just but the opposite way of you'd think. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't leave.
Right. You weren't talking to me.
You weren't talking to me.
The name of my doctoral thesis was called "Are You Talking to Me?"
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it could be, "Are you talking to me?" or "Are you talking to me?" You know, "Are you talking to me?" One of the, you know, as a mother, one of the quotes that one of the kids said that went with one of the cartoons, it's in the book, he said, "Don't talk to me like I'm a 50-year-old man." You know, and so a 50-year-old man is really an old guy.
Yeah.
You know, "You're talking to me like I'm an old guy." And so one of the key findings is that young people are listening. And whether they're picking up something that we want them to be listening to, you know, if they're picking up something that lifts them and something that helps them, they're very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I had one young lady who said in my survey, I said, "Is there anything you could tell the preacher about his preaching?" And she said, "Father, I would like to thank you for how much you have made my life faith-filled." And I turned the page to the previous page and asked, "How often do you give this preacher feedback?" She'd circled zero. So here's a man who is powerfully impacting her life, and she's never told him a word about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is
a two-way
thing.
Yes, there is. And that's
right.
Opening the conversation.
That's
And that's what Carla Bellinger's book attempts to do, is to break open this conversation about Catholic preaching, something we don't talk very often about, but it is very, very important. Connecting Pulpit and Pew, and it is published, help me with the publisher here.
Liturgical Press,
and it should be available in all of your Catholic bookstores and on Amazon and all the other normal places. And if you don't find it in your local Catholic bookstore, ask for it.
Yes.
And I'm sure they can get it for you. Carla, I want to thank you for being with us. This has been great. It's a very sensitive subject, and
yes,
I know
is.
A lot of people listening, sometimes it rubs them the wrong way, but we really need to begin to talk about preaching. And the point that you made that, you know, before Vatican II, there really wasn't much to talk about in
That's
this
right.
subject. And now
We're
there
new
is.
At it.
We're pretty new at this, and when you're new at something, you know, we have to tweak things and make sure that we get the right training and so forth. I used to say, still do, that the greatest preachers of the gospel are often ordinary lay people whose lives have been touched
yes.
by God's amazing grace and touching people. That's really what we're talking about, giving them something that they can take with them that's sticky, that they can bridge the gap between Sundays with something that's positive. That's really very, very important. And I'm really happy that you've kind of at least opened the door to the subject, and we'll see what happens as we move forward. Carla, thank you for being with us.
No, thank you.
Finding God's Grace. My name is Tony Agnese. Our guest was Carla Bellinger, and thank you so much for being with us. God bless you, Carla. Americans spend so much time in their lives worrying. Hi, this is Tony Agnese. We worry constantly. We worry about unimportant things, things we have no control over, and things we can't change. We worry about what other people think of us. We worry about first impressions when we meet someone new. We worry if we are being understood correctly. We worry about money, our jobs, bills, retirement, paying for our kids' college education. We worry about illness, accidents, and death. If we added up all of the time we spend worrying, we would add several years of enjoyment to our lives. Then why do we do it? Why do we worry so much? Why do we make ourselves physically and mentally sick over it? You know, one of the greatest regrets of the elderly is, I wish I hadn't spent so much of my life worrying. In worrying, we fail to see the big picture. We concentrate on our immediate problem without seeing God's bigger plan for our lives. We fail to recognize God's promise. Worry is the opposite of trusting God. As we read in Matthew's gospel, we can't add a single moment to our lifespan with worry. And he continues in verse 30 with, if God so clothed the grass of the field which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O little of faith? Faith. That's it. That's the antidote to worry. Faith that God truly has a plan for our lives that includes getting us through tough times. We need to focus on God and not on our problem. And worrying directs our focus in the wrong direction. Prayer should replace worry. Put aside your worry. Put your faith in God. Pray knowing that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard you in Jesus. Replace your worry with prayer. This is Tony Agnese. And that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed our interviews with Patty McGuire Armstrong. You can reach Patty at pattymcguirearmstrong.com and check out all of the books that she's got and read her daily and weekly blogs. And Carla Bellinger, Dr. Carla Bellinger, whose book, Connecting Pulpit and Pew, should be available at your local Catholic bookstore. And if not, you can certainly order it there. This is Tony Agnese. You also listen to one of my podcasts, and my podcasts are done every Wednesday and published every Thursday on TonyAgnese.com, TonyAgnese.com, or you can go to FindingGodsGrace.com and click on the podcast. There are over 100 of them now for you to enjoy, so I'm sure you'll find something that you'll like. Until next time, you have a great week. This is Tony Agnese on Finding God's Grace. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Finding God's Grace with Catholic storyteller, author, and broadcaster Tony Agnese. For more information on the program, go to findinggodsgrace.com. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to Tony's Monday morning inspirational blog message and his Thursday podcast, and follow Tony on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+ for more information. Join us again next time for Finding God's Grace.